Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 9th chapter of St. Mark, the gospel text which has already been read. Ever get into one of those conversations where one person wants to talk about this and the other person wants to talk about that? Ever had that happen? Jesus did. Last week we noted that Jesus wanted to talk about his coming journey to Jerusalem, where he would be killed at the hands of his religious leaders and then raised up on the third day. That's what he wanted to talk about. On the other hand, the apostles wanted to talk about who was greater. They wanted to talk about which of them was a better Christian than the rest or than each other. And you may recall from last week that Jesus reminded them that Christianity is not a competitive religion. He told them collectively to get back into their collective lane. And then he grabbed a child and he used that child as an object lesson about greatness in the kingdom of God, which means the Christian religion. And he ends up last week by telling them that whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. And their response to that was to change the subject. To change the subject and talk about something that was on their minds. Something that was apparently bugging them. Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us. Jesus wants to talk about this. They want to talk about that. Sounds a lot like confirmation class often sounds these days. It's like 12 seventh graders and Jacob and Kyle are focused like a laser beam. Like a laser beam. And the other 10 are almost constantly going stream of consciousness. Talking about the second petition, the hand goes up. Is it okay to date? And why didn't God make us so that we couldn't sin? And they're African Americans, not black, which is actually a statement, not a question. And I told them these things always cycle, so soon black will be the Clark term again, and I'll be on the cutting edge. And it's okay to date when your parents say it's okay to date, and my dog doesn't sin, but he's an animal, not a human. We've talked here before about how not everyone has the ability to do miraculous things, like Jesus often does miracles. Miracles, things that work the first time, every time. Miracles that are often a restoration or a picture of a restoration of heaven, creation. Miracles are done by Jesus regardless of the other people's faith, and often they're done in public for everyone to see. Jesus does a lot of miracles. So do the 12 and those upon whom the apostles lay hands and 70, and then the miracles like that just sort of die out. Perhaps, Dr. Weinrich would say, professor of church history, they pop up from time to time in the church's history, but I can't do miracles like that, like Jesus did. With the casting out of demons, though, not so much. In fact, the ability to cast demons out is not limited, but is widespread. Lots of people could and did and can and do cast out demons. Happens all the time. About demons. I know that when I was a kid at St. Matthew in Milan, when Pastor Scove would talk about demons, I would wonder if such things really existed. I had never seen a demon. None of my friends had ever seen a demon. And I certainly didn't know anybody who was possessed with a demon. Probably you have never known a person possessed by a demon. Probably neither you nor your friends have ever seen a demon. And probably that's because we live in America. We live in America, and there's not as much demonic activity here. There is some as in other places in the world. Used to listen to, I still do listen to sports talk radio. It's a respite from talk radio where they talk about important things. And sometimes on sports talk radio, they'll talk about this or that athlete. John Daly and Brandon Marshall come to mind, and they're demons. Talk about their demons. On one sports talk show, it was not Rome, a lesser talk show, one sports talk guy said, you know, we should stop using that word demon because nobody believes in demons anymore, he said. And once again, sports talk guy is incorrect, corrected by the internet, which says that more Americans believe that demons exist, 60%, than don't believe that, and that you're more likely to believe in demons if you are Republican, African-American, or black, or a woman. That percentage is a lot higher in other places in the world. The percentage of people actually believe in demons. How high is that percentage in other places? Well, if you Google percentage Americans believe demons, you get a lot of hits about Americans who believe in demons, 60%. If you Google percentage Africans, Kenyans, Nigerians, Russians believe demons. You do that, you get a lot of hits about American beliefs in demons. Maybe that's because no people navel gaze like Americans navel gaze, and maybe that's because in much of the world, few people don't believe that demons exist because they see it all the time. They see it with their eyes. Their friends see it with their eyes. They know people who have been possessed by demons. Not so much here. Not so much here. Why is that? One pastor in our circuit used the toolbox metaphor. It sounds a lot like the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. That one pastor, not me, says that Satan has what he calls this large toolbox. Has this large toolbox. And like anybody who has a toolbox, if you have a toolbox, you know that not all tools work on any job. And there's one tool that's best for that job. That's the one you don't have, you have to go to the store and get it. For America, where 40% of the population don't believe in demons and others doubt, he often uses other tools, to tempt Christians away from the kingdom of God. Having said that, I was watching Euronews on public TV last Saturday, and they did a story about priests in Spain who are doing exorcisms of demons. As Spain and many of the other Europeans increasingly reject the Christian religion that has been so good to them and increasingly embrace the secular life, I suspect that Satan will increasingly pull that particular tool of demons out of his toolbox. As for Americans, stay tuned. But if you should ever come across somebody casting out demons, Jesus would have you to keep calm and let them carry on. He says, "Do not forbid them, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me." And certainly many people did speak evil of him. "For he that is not against us is for us." So if this person over here or that person over there wants to cast out demons, and a lot of people can do that, then that's a good thing. Leave it alone. Don't bother them. And now that we've dealt with your silly little turf war about those people who are casting out demons and those people are not us, now the subject is children. The subject is children. "Truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward." What's that about? Given a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ. What's he mean by that? So back now to the children. And now more specifically to the little ones. The little ones. If you weren't here last time we looked at this, little ones, 3 years ago, the Greek word little ones is mikros, which comes down to us in many prefixes. The microwave oven, a very small wave oven, or a microscope, which allows us to see very small things, or one millionth, which is something very small, a very small part. The child that he took into his arms last week is identified with the word paideia, the general, generic word for a child. Age, gender, other things unknown. The word used here, and it's plural, refers to very small children. Very small children. To infants and even before. To infants. And what he says about infants is profound. He identifies them as the little ones who believe in me. The little ones who believe in me. What's that you say, Jesus? Did you just talk about infants who believe in me? Are you saying that infants have faith? Are you saying that infants believe in you? Are you saying that they are Christians and that, like any Christian, they have faith in you, faith which saves them? Is that what you're saying, Jesus? That's exactly what Jesus is saying about those infants, those mikras. He's saying that they are Christians. So that's what he's saying about them and speaking. And furthermore, he says to the adults that whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin is the translation. It would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And that would not be a good thing. And if you were here last time, we talked about this 3 years ago, you know that the word there translated sin, or sometimes cause offense, is a verb that means to cause somebody to lose his faith. Somebody who's a Christian to lose that Christian faith. And the best way to cause that little one to grow in faith is to expose that little one to the Word of God. Parents, do that in your home. And in addition to that, bring them here, and I'll do that, and we'll do that here, exposing them to the Word of God. That's how the Christian faith grows in a person. And the opposite will get you the opposite. You know, I've always liked it this time of the year. Time of the year's always been good for me. First of all, I don't like hot weather, and I like this current cool down a lot. And growing up in the fall, there was always this buzz in the air. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. And you probably know that my grandfather started and grew a grain business during the Great Depression. And for my family, harvest time meant that things were going to get a little bit crazy for a month, maybe two, maybe three. During harvest, when the grain was coming in and going out, sometimes my father would work long hours. And sometimes he would be late for supper. But he almost always made it eventually. Every evening, even during harvest, when we were done eating supper, my father would grab the Bible and he would read for it and pray. And then often in the fall, he'd go back down to the elevator. And on Sunday morning, even when the dryers were running 24/7, sometimes people dry corn to make it drier, still do that, we would take turns watching the dryers, and everybody got a chance to go to church, either 8 o'clock church or 10:30 church at St. Matthew in Milan. And if we were still drying corn during the Advent season, which happened often, there was only one midweek service, and the dryers just had to tend to themselves for about an hour. Because my father wanted his little ones to continue to believe, and so did my mother. Worked. I and my four siblings are still in the church. Got me, my brother David, the Missouri Synod pastor, my sister Chris is Missouri Synod also. One brother is Catholic/Lutheran, maybe Lutheran/Catholic, and one goes to Heritage in Rock Island. But for me, and for us, it began before those evening home devotions, before that going to church on Sunday. It began before that. Came across this bulletin this week. It's from Zion Lutheran Church, Taylor Ridge, Illinois, John L. Stubbe, pastor, And the phone number, this is dated September 23, 1956. The phone number is Edgington 25R16. That's your phone number. And there's announcements in the bulletin here. Three circuit events going on that day. One about Sunday schools, a youth group, and another one. Three circuit events going on that afternoon. And the person who wrote the bulletin said, it would be nice if one could go to all three places in one afternoon. This afternoon we just have one circuit event. It's a circuit forum here, just one. Oh, and over here, official act. Mark Joseph, child of Mr. and Mrs. Donald Wilkins, born on July 5, 1956. His cousin, the one married to the preacher's kid from East Moline, says he lives out by Illinois City now. And Stephen Lyle, child of Mr. and Mrs. Lyle Anderson, born on September 3, 1956, are to be received into the kingdom of God through the sacrament of baptism in the service this morning. May God, our Heavenly Father, keep these children through life unto eternity. And that's where it began for me. And that's where it began for a lot of you. And that's where it has begun today for Carter and for Evelyn. For Evelyn and Carter. We said to them, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Indeed, Jesus did go to Jerusalem. Indeed, he did die on the cross to take away the sins of Evelyn and Carter and me and you, all of our sins. And the act of Jesus was complete, covering all the sins that they, or we, have committed, do commit, and will commit. And in this cup of water given to them today, we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, the specific sins of these specific people have been washed away, and God no longer holds those sins against them. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward. I probably told you about the time I shoveled a 10-wheeler full of soybeans. They were in the bin, no drag, had to shovel 500-600 bushels. It was hot and it was dusty. And that drink of water afterwards tasted pretty good. That was probably the worst shoveling I ever had, but shoveled a lot back in those days, got thirsty a lot. I guess sometimes you people still shovel dusty soybeans. That drink of water tastes good. And the drink of water that you gave to your children this morning, they didn't tell you this, but if they could talk, they would tell you, that tasted pretty good. That tasted pretty good. It is a good thing that you, that we, have given to these children a cup of water to drink. As well as those minor things, food, changing their diapers, giving them a place to live, it's a good thing that we have given to them this cup of water to drink. And now, may our Heavenly Father keep these children through life unto eternity. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This time we receive the offerings.